8:32 is the time. Radio Theater now. We're speaking with David Safford, who's come back to town to team up with Rubber Chicken Theater, and they're putting on Tomfoolery, a Tom Lehrer review that has started last weekend and is still open this weekend at the Mangan Theater, the Holden Fine Arts Center at UWS. Good morning, David. How are you doing?
Good morning, Chris. You've called me. I'm in a cabin in the woods.
In a cabin in the woods. That's fantastic.
Yes, I'm somewhere in the middle of Wisconsin at a cabin. I just did a concert last night in Shell Lake, Wisconsin, and I'm about to drive up today and do Tomfoolery at UWS.
What was the concert?
Well, there's a theater company in Shell Lake called Theater in the Woods, celebrating their 25th anniversary. Back when I was in high school, I was in their second ever production, and they asked if I'd come back and do a special concert.
Fantastic.
So, did some music and comedy, and it all worked out because I was already here doing Tomfoolery.
Yes. Now, you're back in town from, you went to a school here at UWS, correct?
I did, 1993 through 97.
And since then, you've moved on to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, the last 7 years I've been in Portland. Have you been there?
Oh, yes. Beautiful city. Actually,
oh,
to me, it's the Duluth of the West, in my opinion.
It is. That's a great way to describe it. Yes, it is.
Just because of their being surrounded by trees, it sort of had the same vibe and feel. It didn't have the big lake, of course, but something about Portland just made me think of Duluth.
Yeah, there's definitely like the Hill of Duluth. You know, we have our West Hill. We're not big city like downtown Minneapolis or downtown Seattle, big glass skyscrapers. Our downtown looks really similar to downtown Duluth. Nothing too intimidating.
Yeah. Well, and so you've been out there for 7 years, you say. I'm hoping and assuming that an expat from the theater scene here in the Twin Ports can go on and find success elsewhere. What have you been doing since you've been out there?
Since I've been out there, well, I worked one coffee shop, which was fun. But then I got involved with Oregon Ballet Theater, which is their number one ballet in town. They have a company of about 25 dancers. So I was playing piano for the school of ballet and then also for the company, playing for performances, doing little tours here and there. And then about 5 years ago, I got involved with Portland Opera, and I've been working with their education outreach program where we take a 45-minute version of an actual opera. We take that to elementary schools, middle schools, all through Oregon, maybe up into Washington, and give kids a taste of opera, or some schools that don't even have music or theater, we get to give them their one performance that they'll probably see all year.
Now, I'm thinking of some of the operas that I've seen that are hours and hours and sometimes few hours longer than you want them to be. Not to disparage opera at all,
well,
but
yeah.
how do you condense that into 45 minutes?
Well, we have this terrific director named Christine McIntyre. She lives in Portland. She actually directs at the Metropolitan Opera, but she has a knack. So this year we did Barbara of Seville,
oh, okay.
Rossini's Barbara of Seville.
Mm-hmm.
She has a knack for figuring out what is the main story that we're telling? How many characters do we actually need to tell the story? And then what music do we need? And she's brilliant. She knows Italian. She knows French. She knows German. She does her own translations into English. So, yeah, you end up with this English 45-minute version of an opera that kids really enjoy.
So did she take, for example, the Rossini score and just excise out a verse or two, or cut a lot of the instrumental interludes? How do you scratch it
down?
Yeah,
I know. It's pretty hard. For example, Figaro has his big opening number, that la, 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 that everyone knows. I mean, it's on Bugs Bunny.
Exactly, I was going to say.
Largo, I think it's called Largo. We did maybe all we did was like a third of that aria. And then Rosina, maybe we did a third of her Una Voce Poco Fa. So, yeah, the director is just brilliant about knowing just how much music do you need, which part of it. Just enough to tell the story.
And how have the kids been responding? Opera seems sadly seems even more distant to the younger generation today than it did even when I was a kid back in the 70s. How is the reception?
The kids absolutely love it. We give them a little pre-show speech where we say an opera is just a story that is sung. We tell them that opera singers never use microphones. So they just understand, you know, opera is like a play or a musical or watching TV or a movie, except that they're singing all the way through it. Mm-hmm. But it's a story just like anything else.
Sure. You know, of course, Broadway singers, musical theater didn't used to use microphones either, but it seems these days, and I don't think it's because of the lack of training, it's just the type of music that's being sung these days. Would you agree that microphones...
You are totally right. Right now, Portland Opera back home is actually doing Showboat. Man, one of the original great, giant Broadway shows. And I don't think they're using microphones. They might use microphones for the speaking part, but when it comes to singing, they don't. So, yeah, things changed, you know, especially now in the pit. You can have a lot of synthesizers, you know, a lot of keyboards. And I think the style of singing has changed so much where now it's, you know, it's like a rock musical or a pop musical. Mm-hmm. There aren't musicals being written, you know, like West Side Story or Sound of Music or Showboat. Like, yeah, there's a totally new kind of music being written.
And a lot of musical is seen in New York over the last several years too. The orchestra or the band is on the stage too, and that changed the acoustics of how they sound. So microphones again might need to be there to reinforce the singers who are now competing with a band that's not being shielded by that pit wall. So
that's very correct. I think when they did Cabaret, I believe that the Cabaret band was always on stage. So yeah, acoustically things change. They're experimenting. It's not the old vaudeville format of the pit orchestra down in the pit and the singers doing their thing. They're changing it up, and it's exciting.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like you're a man of many trades. I picture many actors who may or may not, even if they have musical training, it sounds like you're doing some keyboard work as well. So you've got three or four plates you're spinning in the air at the same time now.
Oh, me working more than one place at the same time?
Well, just the type of things you're doing, too. I mean, just the different types of music, the different types of theater. So you're moving about quite a bit.
Yeah, totally.
So tomfoolery now, you know, switching gears, coming back here and doing something that's a little hopefully, well, it's Tom Lehrer. I shouldn't say lighter fare than opera, but
some of it's a little heavy.
Yeah, he does have some darker tunes, but they're still kind of wry. So I feel like it's a different animal. Is the instrumentation for tomfoolery, is it just piano or is it a fuller band? How does it work?
Well, the score that we have, it did allow to have a fuller band, but when Brian Matuszak and I were discussing it, I said, you know, I wouldn't mind if it's just piano, because that's how we know Tom Lehrer.
Right.
We know him. It's just him and piano. Now, granted, it's three other singer actors joining me on stage, but I kind of wanted that look and that feel. I think if you add a band in, it becomes a little something different. This gives it more of the authentic feel, I think.
Yeah, very, very Tom Lehrer-esque for those, you know, familiar with the albums. I know he's done a few things with a fuller orchestra, but really the piano is the classic Tom Lehrer audible image that we have.
Yeah.
Well, you opened last weekend, and you've got a couple more shows left now. You've got tonight, tomorrow, and then a matinee as well?
Matinee on Sunday, and then, boy, I'm heading out of town. I'm going back to Portland then. I have to say, I'm going to cry some big tears about this one.
Are you heading back to maybe take on the ring cycle for the elementary kids out there now? So.
Well, boy, I hope not.
If you can condense that into 45 minutes, you get a medal. So.
Oh, man, I don't know if there's any way to turn a 16-hour opera into 45 minutes. They couldn't even turn Lord of the Rings into 45 minutes.
No, and they took The Hobbit and stretched it out by 6 hours. So.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so, yeah, I don't see any shortened version of the ring cycle happening.
Well, David, it's been a pleasure talking with you this morning. I thank you for your time.
All right, thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it.
Take care. David Saffert, who's come back to town to team up with Rubber Chicken Theater to put on Tomfoolery that opened last weekend and is tonight at 7:30, tomorrow at 7:30, and then Sunday at 2 p.m., a matinee at the Mannion Theater, the Holden Fine Arts Center at UWS.